Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum issue number 70. I am Mike, Captain Mike. How you guys all doing today? Hope you guys are having a good weekend, staying safe. And I got Kane over here to my left, giving a good thumbs up. Man, how you doing today?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing super. You know, it's a typical weekend. Just watching the drama unfold across the country right now.
Like, yeah. I mean, if it's not one thing, it's another. It's pretty crazy the times that we live in now. But I think, you know, having this outlet, the asylum, is just something that we could just pour something else into that's not part of that negative connotation going on right now.
Yeah, so that's why we're just going to brush over it real fast and just talk about positive things. Unfortunately, we do have to address a couple of deaths, recent deaths in this week that actually hit kind of home. I know one of them was an actor in a movie I think you're a bit of a fan of. And then, of course, another one was a big member of the sci-fi television movie community. So we'll go ahead and talk about them in our little memorial section.
And the captain has just ruined my life again with that Optimus Prime downtrodden song.
That's right, guys. It's the best one I can find for moments like this. First passing was Richard Hurd. If most people don't remember Richard Hurd, he was in Star Trek Voyager, Admiral Owen Paris. He was Tom Paris's father. He's also George Costanza's boss for Matt Wilhelm. And for me personally, growing up in the 80s, he was part of the V invasion. He was part of the miniseries, the first part and the final battle. So yeah, definitely a big, big bag of wind goes out to him and his family.
Yeah, rest in peace, definitely. He was like one of the first aliens I think you saw in V come off the ship.
Yep. Yeah, he was their ambassador, their
leader. And what did you say? You never saw him again until like the final battle?
No, he was there. He was still there. Him and Diane you would see them communicating back and forth. He would be there for like a lot of like press in the flesh kind of moments.
Okay.
PR moments. But, of course, at the very end, you know, if nobody's watched V, do yourself a favor, watch it. It is on Vudu. So it would just, you know, we have, just be able, you guys can check that stuff out and see those moments in there. I think the total mini series and final battle, I think you can probably get for like 20, 30 bucks on.
It's not a lot.
I mean, they've got a TV series if you really get into it and you want to watch the one series, the season, but you don't really need it.
No, the miniseries, and actually the remake is not that bad either. I thought it did a good job.
They recaptured. They didn't use him. Like that character, not him, but the character, they pretty much just stuck with Diane because she was really the true villain of the overall series, like the head villain when you got down to it.
Yeah, her, and didn't she have an assistant, like a blonde that was her?
I believe it was I don't think it was in which one? The original or
the original one. She had like another female counterpart. I'm not sure if that was like her. So,
yeah, I believe
her assistant, probably. Maybe I'm just.
No, there was another blonde person. I don't remember exactly her position. It's been a while. Every time it is in my wish list on Vudu. So every once in a while, I'm like, should I? Can I? I got some time, and I never do pick on it and grab it. Mm. And then the next one is another actor, very famous actor that was everywhere. Anthony James, or James Anthony, is how he was actually born. He's really known for Westerns. You've seen him in a lot of Westerns, Hawaii 5-0, Bonanza, The Rookies. Probably one of his biggest roles was in The Heat of the Night, with Sidney Poitier, and played one of the main villains. He always played a weaselly, greasy kind of. If there was a actor to ever play Loki in the 70s, it would have been him. He was very skinny, kind of greasy looking guy, and I just he would have fit the part just fine. He played in Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood. I mean, the guy's got a very long list. Actually, he played in Blue Thunder, if anybody remembers Blue
Thunder. Wow. That was the era of the assault vehicles being put on the small screen and big screen. Mm-hmm. I remember that. They had, first it was the car, then they graduated to a helicopter, then they got to the planes. Yeah, it was all And they got to a tank too. I think it was a tank movie as well.
Well, there was just tank, but it wasn't anything special. Just like Blue Thunder wasn't anything special. It was just this assault helicopter. Tank was a James Gardner and I can't remember the kid's name. Well, he's an adult now, but he was a retired colonel, and he kept the Sherman tank as a retirement. And I guess his son got in trouble, got put into some like southern chain gang.
Yeah, and then James Gardner got in the tank and just started going after people in town. Like, that was hysterical.
It was great.
You talk about one movie they should just remake just for the hell of it. Yeah. I mean, a tank remake would be fun.
Yeah, that would, especially, you know, a day and age of people, you know, like fighting the power and looking towards the government and going, hey, you know, you guys are doing things wrong. That would be a scream, it, you know, because basically what happens at the end of the movie, spoilers, they get stuck, the tank gets stuck in this mud pit. And all of a sudden, I don't know where all these people come in to back him up, you know, to fight against, you know, what's going on. And it's, you know, it's uplifting, you know, and it's good father and son movie too. I mean, it was all combo of everything.
Yeah, that's an excellent combination.
So that is our two, call them page sixes of the week. You know, two very well-known actors that we have all seen at some point in some time. I think Anthony James, his last movie actually was a long time ago, was The Unforgiven. That was his very last movie.
Oh, wow. So he's been retired for a while then.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he got out of it. But again, he'd been around since, you know, the 70s, 60s. Like I said, he was in Bonanza. So if anybody...
How old was he?
Oh, goodness. How old was he? Passed away at 77. So I mean,
it's a long life.
He last movie he did was 1992. So you know, it's got out and enjoyed the twilight years.
Yeah, enjoyed the golden years, probably on a ranch or something. So
we all love ranches.
Yeah, we all love ranches.
All right, guys. So our next segment is the admissions board. In the admissions board, we talk and cover latest news, rumors, and just give our opinions about everything. So.
News from the admissions ward.
All right, guys. So what we're going to do for the admissions ward, like I said, we just covered the news and rumors. I think we're going to go ahead. I'm going to let Kane go ahead and take over. He's got some news and cover that, and we'll discuss it and go from there. Go ahead, man.
Thank you, sir. Guess what? One of the big things that a lot of us sweaties always wanted was from the original Spider-Man series was J.K. Simmons. We probably all agree that he is probably the quintessential J. Jonah Jameson. You know, they talked for years about recasting him with other people. News came out this week that he has signed a deal. Actually, it doesn't say how many picture deal, but he has signed with the MCU. So he's going to be there for a while. So I guess the next Spider-Man film, we're going to see J. Jonah Jameson and his little internet blog returning, which is one of the best secrets they had. If you guys haven't seen Homecoming, spoilers. You see J. Jonah Jameson at the end, and J.K. Simmons is back in that particular role. Not quite what he was, but he's more of an internet blogger. They had to update that that character profile for the new era. So we got J.K. Simmons coming back.
Now, my question, actually, the one I'm reading, actually, the one of the ones I was, because this was one of my choices, and I, you know, you and I, you know, basically, you know, rock, paper, scissors for it. But mine was not Marvel. Was not MCU, was Spider, was Sony. His deal was with Sony, not with MCU.
I guess the one I got here, he's with, it says MCU.
Really? Okay.
So, I mean, yeah.
That's what I'm looking at. Yeah, because, yeah, he's back. We just don't know which one because it looks like we're getting cross.
Recent interview with People TV. I don't know. You ever heard of People TV?
It's People's Magazine's version. Their television station.
Okay.
Yeah, People TV. Yeah, that's one I've got here, and it doesn't say... MCU, it says Sony, so I'm sure with the crossover with Spider-Man, he'll do those Marvel movies that Spider-Man's going to be in. So, I mean, I can definitely see that going that direction. But yeah, it's great. I love the fact, especially when we saw him for at the end of Far From Home. Was it Far From Home? Shit. Or am I misquoting
that? Yeah, it was Far From Home because Homecoming was the first one. Well, not the first one, but it was, you know, the first
Spider-Man,
second one of this new Spider-Man,
right? So, I mean, I love the fact to see him there, to see him doing that, him being a YouTube blogger and your vlogger and doing that. I thought that was awesome to see that side of it, and it's great to see him. I mean, he was the quintessential J. Jonah. I mean, there are certain actors capture a certain character so well, you just can't and don't want to see anybody. And especially if they're out there still available and ready to play these roles, why not?
Yeah,
you know,
he's always wanted to do it, and mm-hmm. you know, that's the one thing about the MCU, they always like to pay homage to the past.
Yeah,
you know, they may not bring, like, you know, they haven't brought Toby in yet. I got a funny feeling they're gonna bring him for some kind of role.
And I talked last week about this, so where they were talking about doing the lives into the Spider-Verse with Sam Raimi, and there was talk of, you know, him coming in as the elder Spider-Man.
That'd be cool, but, you know, if you could just, like, I think I'll go back to something that you said, like, if you could see him, like, a little cameo walking across the street, you know, getting into that famous Sam Raimi car, which is in all his movies,
yeah.
Nice little wink. I mean, they don't have to go Spider-Verse. I mean, I think doing that movie, I like the movie we got.
Yeah.
We got a Spider-Verse movie already. It won an Oscar. It was great.
I'd love to see Garfield and Maguire meet up and like, meet up as boyfriends and go into a cafe inside of New York. Just have them kind of meet in the background.
That'd be great.
Make everybody happy. You get the fanboys all happy. You get the LGBTQ community. Okay, yes, awesome. You know, just so.
And they have to be. They have to be working at that same pizzeria though. That'd be great.
Yes. Yep. Exactly.
Like they're like a married couple that owns like the pizzeria, and Tom Holland, he works there now, so they actually fire him.
Yeah.
You could do a little nod like that, but definitely. We got JK at least for, I guess, a couple films, so
very cool.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I guess I will continue with the idea of somebody still wanting to play something, and there might be a chance for that to happen. This week we got news that DC is looking and talking, hasn't put pen to paper yet. But everything I've read and the several locations I've read them at have said that Henry, his manager and his publicist, Henry Cavill, is back in talks with DC. And they're basically looking at bringing him back as Superman, but no plans, no notification of him, you know, going back to Man of Steel yet. The rumor mill went crazy going, oh, they're starting to write in everything. I'm sure there's scripts out there. But what is out there, I think, is they're talking, and I think this is a great idea. It's the best way of, since Ben doesn't want to do Batman anymore, but to still have Superman as a main thread and kind of this godlike character going around, turn him into, you know, somebody. I think one article said, you know, he'll be the Hulk of the DC. I thought the comment of him being the Nick Fury
one. Yeah, that's better.
I think that would be a lot better to have that happening, him being there to kind of bring everybody together. And maybe as they're showing all these new characters and these, you know, bringing them together for another Justice League later down the road, like they should have done. Just very similar how Batman was gathering up all these characters during the first Justice League, but let it take place over several films, just like we said, you know, be the Nick Fury. Cause as you watch the MCU, Nick is picking and gathering this team up and then going for the big movie.
Yeah. It's a cool thread. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could explain it too. I mean, let's say eventually you're going to get Batman in that universe. Cause I think eventually you're going to have to put him in the Justice League. I mean, you could just explain it like this version of Batman was killed. You know, if they're doing the Zack Snyder Justice League cut, if you read it, they say this Batman dies. Maybe, you know, Superman goes back into a different universe and then the Robert Pattinson Batman could be zapped into this universe. I mean, there's a lot of things they can do. Like, the one thing we've always talked about here is DC has a multiverse and they use it to perfection. Sometimes in the comic books, even the small screen, they've done pretty well with it in the CW world. You could just do it in the movies. Perfect way to bring Batman in.
Yeah.
Another note too, if you're going to talk to Henry Cavill about appearing in other DC movies, I don't think that contract is just for cameos. You don't talk to Henry Cavill just for cameos.
I'm sure.
I think eventually,
right now,
they're going to lead to another Man of Steel or you know, Superman Reborn movie, maybe.
Maybe.
You don't lock him up just saying, hey, guess what? We want you to do a couple cameos now. You don't do that with Henry Cavill. He's an in-demand actor. I mean, the guy's The Witcher right now.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. He's on The Witcher. He's on to other things. I think locking him down and guaranteeing he is our Superman for cameos right now is perfect because it lets him still continue and go off and do his own thing. He can still go off.
And then you can build that you can build that anticipation too. That's something that we've talked about in the past. Like, you build a character up. Like, oh man, I can't wait to see him again in his own film. I mean, like, kind of like Black Widow almost. Black Widow, you know, when she appeared, she's basically a cameo character. Then she's part of the Avengers. Then she's part of the other movies. And now I think, you know, a little bit overdue, she's getting her solo movie.
Yeah, very true. So
maybe they could do that. We'll just hopefully.
I'm sure that there's talks and everything, but right now that was the prime talk, was right now just coming in for cameos, and I'm perfectly fine with that. We talked about an actor and a character they were born to play, J. Jonah Jameson. That is Superman and Henry, and he wants to play it so bad. He's constantly in shape. Even like this week, I think Friday or Saturday, he posted a Twitter with him, you know.
Oh, saying hello, the one on the Instagram?
Yeah, he was saying hello, old friend, back in the gym. He's got Zachary Levi ready to jump into the gym again, because Zach's looking forward to getting a chance to work with him as well. So.
And you know for a fact that he's going to appear in the next Shazam movie. I think he can almost guarantee it.
He needs to. And again, he needs to be there as the Hulk or as Nick Fury. He doesn't need to be a major player. Just make his presence known.
Yeah, that's it. Cameo here and there. Like, maybe he shows up in the middle of like Shazam movie when he's fighting Mastermind or Mr. Mind, whatever that little worm was. And he just shows up like, you know, in a point of crisis for Shazam. Like, you know, I don't know if I could do this. And he'll just fly by and say, hey, look, you know, kid, you can do this. You know, I believe in you. And, you know, there's other, and then he could allude to a bigger world. Like, there's bigger threats on the horizon, and we're going to need you. So, and he could just, and that's it. And you never see him again.
That's all we need from him. So what do you got for your next one?
Well, guess what? Do you remember the Monster Universe a couple years ago? They took that photo, Javier Bardem, I think Johnny Depp, a couple other people. They were going to build this Monster Universe. Never happened because The Mummy just sucked. Well, guess what?
That's your opinion.
I didn't like it. I think it's awful. But anyway, Universal, or actually, I think it's Blumhouse. Let me see. They got to look at there. According to Collider, Ryan Gosling is going to star in a remake of The Wolfman. That's right. Collider reports Ryan Gosling is in negotiations to appear as the particular character in a movie for Universal. So it's not going to be Blumhouse. So I wonder if they're going to start doing that Universal Monster Universe again. But Ryan Gosling is a great actor. You can never go wrong by adding talent. He's talented. And I think it's a win-win for both, you know, the studio and him. He gets to sink his teeth into a role, because I think the Wolfman is a very interesting character of all the Universal monsters. Literally, he is, you know, he's a dude, obviously, bitten, turns into a wolf by night, and he recalls nothing. So basically, when he's brought out this persona of the werewolf, it's brought on by just tension, stress, or anything going on. And that's a lot to deal with for a character. And I think you could just really get in deep into that psychosis. I mean, it depends how they go. I mean, if they're going to go the gypsy route, where he came from a family of gypsies, or if they go with that awful, awful Benicio del Toro movie with Anthony Hopkins, where it was like a lineage thing, or maybe they just do a little bit of both. I don't know. I mean, it depends how you do it. But like I said, adding him, not a bad idea.
No,
good dad talent.
I'm a huge, huge fan of the original Universal Lon Chaney. Those movies, I was more of a fan of those than I think I was of Dracula or of Frankenstein. And yes, the great actors on both sides, great pieces of work as far as cinema goes. But to me, the werewolf movies were always great, even to the point where, like, whenever they had Abbott and Costello versus the werewolf meets the werewolf.
that was great.
That one hands down was great. And I wasn't a big fan of the Benicio del Toro one either. I was always a fan of werewolf movies. Howling was one of my favorite ones. I don't know if you remember, there was a Fox television series called A Werewolf.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was a huge fan of that show. So I am looking forward to it. I was a fan of The Mummy. I think if they do this dark universe, try to tiptoe their way back into it, I think it'll be great. You're raving about you know, the actors being in here, Ryan, and in the movie, but you got to look. You just had Tom Cruise in that movie, and it that didn't help it anyways. So
yeah, but it's always good to have talent. Just saying, I mean, like if they added like a Joe Schmo, this adds like a name to it. So yeah, if let's just say you put an unknown actor, like, hey, this is the Wolfman, nobody would give it crap. But now at least it gives a little bit of substance.
Yeah, I know. You might be surprised. So I think can't always rely and put the weight of everything on the actor.
No. But I'm just saying, like, either or, they could have done an unknown. Yeah. I would have been fine with it. But at least this, it's like, wait a minute. Okay, they're going to spend some money if they're going to get him. Maybe they had a decent script down. Maybe they have a cool idea. I don't know. But if he signed on, because he's very picky about his projects too. And he normally doesn't do movies like this. He always does like the dramatic roles or like the Oscar winners or like the Notebook 5. I don't know. But he's very picky with his projects. So adding him there must mean that there's something that he likes that he could literally, you know, grip his teeth into.
Very true. Very true. All right. Well, next one I have is from one of our faves. We always love him. We can't wait to see anything that he, you know, releases. But we're getting news from Kevin Smith. Of course, we're getting closer and closer to the release of He-Man. And you know, this one came boiling up again like a fester. This came out when it originally came, you know, was released, that, you know, it was going to say that He-Man was more of a secondary character and it was going to be Teela, and that it was all about her. And you know, that was something that came out, and this, you know, like I said, this news that was rolling out isn't new. This came out right when they dropped it, but Kevin finally spoke up. And he's like, he's very adamant about this. He's like, no, he's like, I had a very furious battle about this when we started and what we wanted He-Man to be. And he's not, you know, lying down with this. He is saying that, it was originally going to be titled. Where's the original title on here? Sorry, guys, I lost it. It was originally supposed to be called the End of the Universe. I mean, this was supposed to be a very dark and metal story is what he's saying, and that's what we're going to be getting. He even made a shot at it, saying, God, you know, if that's what the storyline was, why weren't these people around when I was trying to write this story to have this Teela, you know, be more powerful? But it's not. This is coming from the writer, the director. He is saying this is not the direction we went, guys. That is falsehood, and please stop talking about it.
I mean, I didn't think that it was going to be a Teela-led series, to be honest. I thought it was like, I mean, she's probably going to be like one of the persons with the main arcs that's going to be going through there. I don't think He-Man's going to be a supporting character or Skeletor, but, you know, I guess the series premise is basically it picks up off the original battle. Skeletor and He-Man had one last battle, and I guess the power sword is missing, and I guess Teela has to find the power sword, or...
I haven't even seen anything about the storyline itself. Again, all this stuff that came out. Well, all this stuff came out was came out when they first originally announced it last year. And so it's nothing new. Like, really, lately, pretty much all the rumors and stuff are all like things that have already been talked about, but they just, they're trying to drum up more stuff. So.
Yeah, they're trying to drum up a little bit more interest, but, is there a release date for that yet?
Nothing yet. No, because I think it's still being worked on. Again, you know, the whole COVID thing, a lot of places shut down, you know, production on these things. Like even this, the Transformer ones. I mean, the Transformer one should be the first one out, and that's in June. I think they finally did a date for that one, and that one was already.
They finally got a release date.
Finally got a release date, and that one was already done before the COVID situation. So I think they were just slowing down production or slowing down releases for everything because they're like, we don't know how long this is going to last. Let's hold on to what we've already made and release them slowly. Just this weekend, we had the release of Space Force with Steve Carell and, you know, and Greg Daniels. So, I mean, that was something that's, you know, I think that one they were trying to time with the launch also. It just kind of like the time.
Yeah, perfectly, by the way.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, same day. But you know, I think that's just what they're doing. They were just kind of holding back on the releasing of certain things until they knew, hey, you know what? Okay, we can go back to work now and start making things again.
Yeah.
So what
it depends on how long the animation is going to do too. I mean, they're probably still stuck. I don't know if they're doing storyboards or if they've actually done a work on it. I mean, voice work
and over a year
pretty quickly.
It's been over a year.
Is it over a year?
Well, it's been almost a year since they announced it. I thought it was like end of summer last year.
Didn't they announce it? Yeah, I think it was October, November.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, I'm sorry. Okay. So they've been working on it quite a bit. Again, it's just, I think probably, you know, first off was the announcement. Yes, we're going to be doing it. Yes, we have a story idea, but we don't have the actual written out, you know? And so, you know, with that, especially, you know, with animated, you have to have a solid script on there. It's not a lot of not a lot of freestyle on animation when it comes to the
voice. No, and it has to be done because those voice actors have to walk in and they actually have to see the product that they're actually voicing for. Because when they did the animated series, that was one of the big things that, I forgot her name, that she when she was the big, she basically casted all the actors for Batman, the animated series. And one of the big things she used to do is make all the actors come into the room together. Like, and they would see everything visually so they could just act it out.
Right.
That's why that series was so good. So I'm just wondering if they're doing that. I mean, that's been a big thing of theirs for years. So,
well, that was, I mean, it's basically they just went back to old school radio. I mean, that's what old school radio did. Everybody.
Yeah. That's basically what it was. Because for years, because before that, it was basically just you're by yourself in a sound booth.
Nowadays you can do voice acting over that's a huge career that you can do from home. I mean, so the voice acting side of it could have been done from home during the whole COVID thing. That's not you just have a good internet connection and in a soundproof room. And most of these voice actors have that in their home already. And they just, will sit there and they can do that and be talking to a producer, very similar to how you and I are doing the show right now. You're across town, I'm here. So, that's the same way that they would do those. So I don't think it's so much about the voice acting. I think it was going to be more about the actual art and getting that done. And that's something usually, you definitely need to be in the work, and on a real desk and a real computer to do that. So what do you have next?
Blumhouse is doing a Upgrade series. If you guys have ever seen Upgrade, do yourself a favor and watch it. It was one of the best sci-fi movies, original sci-fi movies that came out in 2018. I'm not sure if you saw
it. They're doing a movie about the pimp from Ideology or Idiocracy? Because Upgrade's coming you don't remember that?
I do remember that, but no, not quite.
Upgrade don't like that.
This is the Lee Wannell film.
Sorry.
This is what I deal with, kids, every single day. Lee Wannell, who actually did the recently popular Invisible Man for Blumhouse. I'm not sure if you've seen Invisible Man yet, which I thought was awesome. I thought it was, they took the lore of the Invisible Man and made it and flipped it, made it more modernized. If you guys haven't seen Upgrade, that was one of his first films he did. Very Terminator-esque. Like, if you've seen the original Terminator, Upgrade was kind of like that. It had a cool ending too. Definitely can go to series. It's going to series according to Deadline. Blumhouse TV and USCP are developing a sequel series of Upgrade with the original director Lee Wannell is attached to co-creator and executive producer Tim Walsh, who has done Treadstone and Shooter. They will both serve as the co-showrunners. No network as of yet, but you take your pick. Hulu, Netflix, USA, who knows?
Well, let's see. Those networks. Well, Shooter and I'd probably go end up on Hulu, knowing them.
Probably. I think it's Hulu. No, I'm trying to read right here. I'm sorry, guys. My internet's a little slow, unlike somebody else's. No streaming services attached to it as of yet. And I've nothing. No.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the streaming war, so you never know. People are grabbing.
But this is a good one. This is like we've talked about a lot of the streaming, shows that go on there. But this is one that actually has a good lore. I'm not sure if you've seen Upgrade yet, but I think I was raving about it to you for
I had to get you to shut up, so I finally watched it.
and would you agree it's very Terminator-esque, like the original Terminator?
Most
of it. Had that kind of old, sci-fi feel to it. That's why I kind of dug it.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of like it went back to its past roots and all that stuff. So,
oh, yeah.
And having the director, he did this and he did Invisible Man. So he's proven that he actually can do this type of films. And then you're going to have a whole series about it. I think it's nothing but a win. And, people are just crying for original series. And here you have an original movie like this. And now you got an original franchise. And then you go from there. I mean, there's a lot of cool things you could do with that Upgrade. I mean, if you guys haven't seen it yet, based on a very evil AI called STEM, and if you guys have not watched it, do yourself a favor, watch it. It's probably on streaming services. Not sure if it's on Hulu or Netflix, but I'm sure you could find it.
Yeah, I know you can find it to rent it. I'm pretty sure you can get it off of like Prime, Vudu, any of the rental services. I don't think it's on a stream service just yet, though.
Not that I know of. So
yeah, so that should be coming out. No release date is announced as of yet, but you know, if you had to think, you know, probably sometime in a couple of years. But check it out.
Yep,
so what do you got, Captain?
Oh, well, there is a return of a special person to the Star Wars universe. Something that's getting ready to drop. Not where you would think this show or series will drop. It will not drop in Disney Plus, but we are getting the return and basically a rumor that had been around for so long. We're getting the return of Ahmed Best. That is Mr. Jar Jar Binks. He is going to be coming in for Sci-Fi Channel running a Jedi Challenge. Basically, it's for kids, and it's a show very reminiscent of like American Ninja, or if you look at any like the 90s kid shows, Double Dare, Legends of the Hidden Temple. And basically, Ahmed is a Jedi trying to get these children to become young Jedis, and they have to go through a series of obstacles, not just physical, but mental obstacles as well. And it's just a refreshing look at it for Star Wars fans. And it's welcoming to see Ahmed back and, oddly enough, in Jedi robes. Have you seen the commercial?
I have seen the trailer. Yeah. And I'm just glad for him, man.
Yeah.
Because you talk about a guy that had to deal with like just toxic, venomous, mm-hmm. responses
and this was for years. And this was pre-Twitter, pre-Instagram. Yeah, I think this is like still like
hatred, yeah, death threats, and that guy went through a lot of stuff, and it was not his fault.
Yeah,
he just did the character the way it was written.
Yeah, the written, and he was asked to speak a certain way, but this is, I think this is a welcoming return to the Star Wars universe. And again, Jar Jar is a Jedi. I mean, now we can see, you know, him as a Jedi, and it looks pretty cool. I mean, there is a bit of a cheesiness to it. There is an R2 unit. There is a droid with him, his companions, but it looks fun for kids. And it's I love the fact that this is not Disney hoarding all their Star Wars crap and going, "This is mine." No, this is actually on Sci-Fi, which I think is awesome that they're still letting that out. You know, because that could be something great for a Disney Plus series to have something more interactive for kids to watch. There is tons to watch on Disney Plus for children, but I thought it was kind of nice that they were, you know, threw that out to Sci-Fi.
Yeah, it's cute. I mean, especially for Ahmed Best to get his redemption.
Yeah.
In the Star Wars universe, it's cute. Like you said, if it's going to be like a Double Dare type of thing for kids, I mean,
basically, yeah,
it's good for him. Just good for him. I'm glad for him. I mean, the show might suck, but I'm glad for him.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'm gonna watch it just for the fun of it, you know, just to see what they do.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
I mean, as a kid, I would have loved to. You know, I get to do what and try what and.
Can you imagine that? Like, as a kid, we'd be going insane over this. We watch it every week. Oh, Mom, can I be in that show?
I want to be a Padawan. These kids can now be Padawans. I thought it was one of those heartwarming little moments. And again, just like we just said, you know, welcome back, Ahmed. It was, you know, we're glad you're back, and just don't make any weird sounds. And
yeah, just don't miss a step on poop, please.
Don't do that. So, what do you got next?
Well, one of our big stories, I guess we reported there was negotiations for the longest time that Tom Ellis was negotiating, because apparently this is this last season of Lucifer season 5 upcoming. We don't know release date yet. It's supposed to be coming up pretty soon. 16 episodes for season 5. It'll be split into two parts, kind of like Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which they've been doing, like, you know, they've been doing everything in chapters. I guess that they're going to do that for season 5 of Lucifer. But it is not the end. Tom Ellis has officially signed with Warner Brothers, and there will be a season 6 of Lucifer on Netflix. And that is a done deal. The showrunners who were originally on the Fox network have also agreed to deals. But if you're going to have Lucifer, you can't have the devil not be there. So Tom is returning. I'm sure the whole cast is going to return too. And that's a win-win situation too, because I just started recently rewatching Lucifer again. And it's a cool, fun little, you know, procedural. That's the way I look at it. You just put the devil in there. That's it. And if you guys have never seen it, the supporting characters are good, but Tom makes that show. If that show does not have him, it fails. I'm sorry. I mean, it's called Lucifer, so you need the character to be upfront. And, you know, I've seen, like, a lot of our mutual friends are just, like anytime I put anything of Lucifer, when I put this story, it was probably one of the most clicked stories we had on our website.
Yeah.
was this one right here, because she's obviously got the female fandom going crazy over him. And who wouldn't? Tall, good-looking dude, British accent, the devil. It's a win-win situation. It's one of Netflix's most popular series that they saved. Remember, this series was canceled after season 3. And Netflix was like, nope. There was a petition online on Twitter to save Lucifer. It was saved. And now it's going to get another 2 seasons, including the
Netflix is good at that.
Season 5.
Netflix is definitely good at doing the save, bringing shows back. So, you know, we definitely welcome it back. And I think it's great. And I honestly, when you and I talked about this, when we first got, you know, heard about them canceling at 5, I fought it. I was like, I didn't fight it because I'm a big fan like you are. I fought it because they're getting ready to do Sandman. What better way to introduce and bring a much, much darker character? I mean, if you really look at the comic books, Sandman compared to Lucifer, Sandman's got some really darker edges and tones to it. And what better way of introducing that character to be more open to the public than to be introduced by Lucifer, who they translated very well. You know, it is not Lucifer, the comic book, by any stretch, but if you're doing Sandman, and obviously Sandman's not going to be Sandman from the comic books, but what better way to introduce him, give him a couple of like lead-in episodes, you know, maybe a two-parter or something, just like you've seen it done a million times in other TV shows when a spinoff comes around. We're not going to call Sandman a spinoff, but it is based in the same world. We've already seen Constantine, you know, be introduced. So we know there's a shared universe. Introduce that shared universe with Lucifer and Sandman during season 6.
And I think that had to be part of the negotiations. You know, like, because season 5 is supposed to be the ending of the Lucifer arc. But in season 6, you know, you basically, it's kind of like Supernatural. Supernatural, basically, the first 5 seasons had a 5-season arc. Eric Kripke, the original showrunner, he's like, that's it. I'm done after 5 seasons. And it had an open and shut case. That's what you could have with Lucifer. And season 6 could be like a new beginning. You could introduce, like you just said, the Sandman. And those other darker characters, Dream. And, you know, maybe have Matt Ryan come back as Constantine. Maybe you can introduce that DC dark world in its own way. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you could do. And do not think in those negotiations, those showrunners were not thinking about the Sandman.
Yeah, very true. So, speaking of Lucifer... I guess I'm going to keep the camera on you this one. Lucifer, the series on DC right now, is being canceled out. They're going to release the last 5 books. I know you've been talking about it during our Heroes poll like nonstop, but they're going to be releasing the last 5 books in graphic novel form. They just decided not to release them individually. Most likely, this is because of the COVID and how everything got kind of backed up. Not only this one, but DC has also canceled about 20 other books. And now the other books that they canceled that were scheduled to be releases were not new releases. Mm-hmm. They were just reprints, the Walmart 100-page giant books that they have that come out. That's being stopped. They're going to digital on that one. But I think what they're doing is stopping the press so that they can get caught up and get the stuff out there quicker. And also now they have 2 distribution companies, or 3 distribution companies now, that they have to support. So, but Lucifer, the stories that you've been talking to us for a year now, you know, every month when it comes out and we're reviewing, that will now be out. They haven't announced the date yet for it, but 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24 of the final of that story will come out in graphic novel.
So I kind of figured it was coming anyway. You know, it's going to be the end of the Wild Hunt. That's probably what it is.
Well, it's the end of the story, but it's just strange that they're just going to, they've even got the individual covers. I'm looking at the online right now. They've already got the individual covers. Like, they were ready to do it, but they just decided to stop and just say,
that's fine. I mean, to me, I told you at the beginning, it's a little wacky. They actually developed a decent arc. It gets like a little bit better, I would say probably issue 9 on is where they kind of developed that arc, because the beginning of this run, Lucifer basically lost his power. He's basically a hobo living on an island. He has a kid. Some witch. And then
it was weird. I think I'm up to like number 7 on the book.
A little strange. And then it gets away from that. And then, you know, you find out about this kid, and he's a bastard kid, and he's not as handsome as father. Then once Lucifer starts interacting with the other deity gods, that's when it gets pretty cool to me. Yeah. And then you get a storyline, and then they're off and running. But it wasn't going to last too long. Like I said, not one of the best arcs or storylines they've had, but it's been fun. And to see it end, it kind of sucks, because you're right, I have been literally talking about that comic since the inception of the Asylum. Yep. Yep. So it's going to suck, but I got to save my money.
We will be looking forward to when you do get the graphic novel to give us a final five or six, you know, issue breakdown of everything. So, you know, we will have that.
So we can send the devil back to hell?
Yes. So do you have anything left?
I have one more.
Good. I have one more.
One more. And this is, I'm glad we're in collusion with that. Scott Derrickson, who is not directing Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. However, he's found his next project, which will be the sequel to Labyrinth. That's right. Apparently, that's one of the reasons he did not do Doctor Strange 2, is because TriStar Pictures, he is set to direct the follow-up to Jim Henson's 1986 movie that starred both David Bowie and my ex-wife, Jennifer Connelly. No details have been led, but they said it's going to be a direct sequel. And there's been some rumors. I've heard some rumors, and you know how I love rumors. Apparently, this is one of the rumors I heard, and I think I posted it on my personal Facebook page, and I had a couple responses, and I have not gotten yours yet, which is good, because I wanted to get your response here. One of the big rumors I heard was, since, you know, unfortunately we lost David Bowie, rest in peace, is they want to have the Goblin Queen instead of the Goblin King, and they're talking to Lady Gaga about it. Now, I'm very half and half about it. Like, she's a good actress. Like, I've seen her in A Star Is Born. She was a one season of American Horror Story. She's solid. But on the other hand, I just don't know.
If anybody's going to replace Bowie, and it's as theatrical as Bowie was, it's her. Mm-hmm. She is the female Bowie. When you look at her performances, you look at her early career, you look at her current career, not just in the acting, but in the musical field, she's Bowie. You know, she was constantly changing who she was. She was constantly changing what she looked like. I think that's fine. You know, Goblin Queen is perfectly fine with me. That's not one I would be upset about. I don't want to call it upset. The only thing I'm worried about is in something you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, bringing a movie back, a sequel, decades later, is a tough sell. It really is. How's it going to come across? There was a movie, I can't remember what movie we were talking about a few weeks ago, that you were against because it was so long ago. So it's one of those ones. I know this is an awesome classic. It's right up there for my childhood. I grew up with Jim Henson, you know, watching everything he did. So yes, this was important to me. Dark Crystal was important to me, you know, growing up. And I think it just got to tread on thin ice with this one. Be very careful. I do believe she would be perfect for this. It's just, what else do they do? How else do they do it?
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said Dark Crystal, because they did this Dark Crystal kind of origin series recently on Netflix. And it basically, it was a prequel type. But the showrunners and the people who did that, they had such respect for the older movie that it fit in seamlessly. And if you can get somebody who's a fan of that Labyrinth movie and it could fit in that same world like that Dark Crystal series that came out on Netflix, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah.
You just got to find somebody who respects the project and is a big, you know, it's kind of like the Cobra Kai showrunners, right?
Yeah.
Cobra Kai is their Star Wars. They know everything about the Karate Kid inside and out. And if you've seen that series, there's a lot of love pushed into it. They have like a lot of the lore while adding new stuff.
And obviously, hopefully crossing our fingers, it'll find a new home.
That's one of the things I wanted to put on there. But
yeah, hopefully Netflix or Hulu will pick them up, because there's a massive fan base. One of my close friends, my brother, I have known since I was late teens. He runs one of the biggest Cobra Kai fan pages out there. And
Sensei, by the way, I'm part of that group.
But they, they love that show, and it's they do have a lot of them. Sometimes they actually have some of the writers on there and directors that pop in there and chat with the fans. And yeah, those guys, just like you said, Star Wars was their love, and Karate Kid was their love, and just like Star Wars is ours. So yeah, if they find the right director for Labyrinth, I think it'll be fine. It's just translating what that was for us as children. It holds a special place in our heart. That's why it's so cult heavy. Putting that out now in the universe, in the world that we live in right now, it's going to be a little different. They're going to have to write for today, but still somehow capture the innocence of that world. And that's a very tricky place to be, because this world is our world we live in now is not what we had, you know, growing up.
It's a very
thin line when it comes to being a creator in this day and age. Is you have to find that balance of trying to find that heart and that innocence still in that's whatever's left in our world, but still also balance it out with having the right message behind it as well that would mean something, that would make people want to go see it and going, okay, that does have a reason to be there, or there's a special story that translates to something that's going on today. If they try to retell something that was written in the 80s, it's going to feel like the 80s and not great all the time.
Well, Scott chose this project over doing, you know, getting a big paycheck for Doctor Strange 2. So you got to believe that he's interested in doing it.
I think he's going to do a great job, because I think he's going to have more control than what his hands will probably be very.
Yeah, his hands. Yeah, because if you're a director and you're going to go work for the MCU, there's always a plan. There's a plan laid out for you, basically. Yeah,
you get one hand tied behind your back instantly. So
yeah, pretty much it's going to be like Feige goes like, hey, I want you to put this in there, this in there. This is how it's going to start. This is how it's going to end. But this little gray area is all yours.
Yeah, fill it in all you want.
But just make sure you put these bullet points in there. And hey, you can't argue with the MCU success, but I'm looking forward to this. I think he's like I said, he's done this. I think he did one of the Conjuring movies, or some horror movie he did before Doctor Strange, and that's why he got chosen for Doctor Strange. But you know, we'll see what he puts in there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, me too. My next one and final one for Admissions Ward actually is going to jump into a comic book that I've actually like raved about. You want to talk about Kane talking about Lucifer all for the last year? This one revolves around Sean Murphy. Sean Murphy is famously known for basically making The Wake, Chrononauts, at Tokyo Ghost, but also for doing the White Knight series for Batman. He is out right now. He's out trying to do some promotions for a new graphic novel, sci-fi graphic novel, The Plot Holes. But he was talked to about his time with DC, and it was brought up that there is a Murphyverse that basically being created, worked on. And if anybody was a fan of the White Knight and a lot of the nods that they did to the animated series in the old school animated series, should be looking forward to, he is looking at taking the Murphyverse and bringing it into the Batman Beyond. Ooh. And I mean, if anybody has seen anything that he did during the White Knight series, imagine seeing that artwork and that mind into a Batman Beyond universe. I think is just going to be tremendous. I know you haven't gotten a chance to read it yet, but you know, you got to. I know Kane, and I always rag on Kane for not reading this yet, especially being the Batman fan and the mark that he is. But this is it's one of my favorite Batman books. I'm sick and tired of Batman and Joker and all those, but this one I love because of how the story and the change and just the artwork, true. I mean, too, was just immense. So hope that there's still hope out there to see a Murphyverse extended out to Batman Beyond will be just tremendous. If we can see that in a year or two.
That'd be cool. That'd be very cool. I'll definitely check that out whenever I catch up with this White Knight series.
Hey, you've had time.
I've had time. I have other things that I gotta read first. That's a faux pas on my part.
Yes, sir.
Sorry.
All right, guys. So, well, that is the end of the admissions ward. What we're gonna do? We do another section here, and we call this the Heroes Pull. We'll cover weekly releases, although there haven't been anything. There was some new releases this week. I'm going to cover a couple. But for the most part, we've been really covering just old books, but we're going to go ahead and jump into the Heroes Pull. All right, guys. I got a few, so you know what? I think I'm going to jump in and start myself, if you don't mind, Kane.
Go right ahead, sir.
And actually, I'm going to start off with one that I think will be something that you will enjoy a lot. It's a new Avengers book. I know you're not a Marvel fan, but this one delves into the world that you say Marvel never delves into. and that is into the world of the mystical. You have Avengers number 3, or sorry, shoot, I marked it now. Sorry, 33. Just I took off the 3.
Oops.
And basically what it is, it's written by Jason Aaron, art by Javier Guerin. And basically the storyline is about, it's called Moon Knight versus the Avengers. This is a number 1 for this story. So yes, it is a number 33 for the Avengers comic book, but this is part of it. And basically Nightwing versus the Avengers, mummies are rising from their graves. Secret armies march by moonlight. From Kunlun to Wakanda to Greenwich Village, a dark god invades Asgard. And the Moon Knight has been released and has never before. So begins the age of the Khonshu. So fall the Avengers. This is actually a pretty interesting book. This really focuses on Moon Knight. It starts off with him confronting Iron Fist, then has him turning on Doctor Strange, then turning on Wakanda and going after Black Panther, ending with him going after Thor and basically ripping Mjolnir from his hands. It is the dark side of Marvel. And when I, after, as soon as I got done reading, I was like, well, Kane, you need to read this one, because this does everything that you say that Marvel tries not to touch. They just jumped right into it. Moon Knight is a complete badass. Basically, everything that's happening during a supermoon, a supermoon that happens once every millennia. So he is at his peak power. We're still not sure if this is... It's all the different personalities of Moon Knight basically coming out and being their own individual bodies and doing this. And then the last thing we see is Moon Knight after he's taken Mjolnir from Thor, and he's leaning or kneeling on the moon in front of a god. And that's just the beginning of the story. So very, very interesting, very, very dark twist.
I wonder if the entity of Khonshu took over him, or
being Khonshu.
Okay.
Yeah, like the deity that he's kneeling in front of is.
That's probably Khonshu. That's who it is.
Then. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's, but he's going around trying to steal everybody's power.
So basically he's a herald for Khonshu then.
It's what it's looking like, but we're in the first book of this. So definitely something to check out. Again, it's Avengers 33, Moon Knight versus the Avengers. I mean, I saw this, I was wow.
Well, hey, about time.
Yeah, I was like, the cover looks cool. And then as I'm looking at it more, I'm like, wait, this is dark. Okay. Let me see what route they're going here on this one.
I definitely have to pick this up then.
Yep.
That's not even a question. Everything else is put in the back burner.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get Transformers versus Terminator. What was it? Terminator. I don't think there's day release.
I don't think they released it now, but you know, get your other one.
I'll get the other ones.
Yeah, the other one that
this one is right up my alley, especially Moon Knight, very underrated character that Marvel has yet.
The first like 6 pages are him and Iron Fist just going at it. Ooh. Yeah, I mean, and it's real good. So definitely, just alone after I just read that part of it, I was like, wow, okay, this is good. And then
the rest goes on. And all those personalities basically are coming out of him, and their own version of
Moon Knight. Sorry, Nightwing. Oh. Nightwing's my other book. I've got Nightwing on my head too.
Okay. Oh.
So yeah, definitely something to check out.
Who wrote it?
It was Jason Aaron.
Oh, so it's gonna be a good book. Okay. Jason Aaron's a good writer. So
yeah.
When I tell him,
I
will check that out then.
All right. So what do you have then, sir?
I got a flashback. Since I didn't get any new comics this week, that's a faux pas on me, folks. Sorry, I just didn't leave the house. But I have an old comic book, and this is the last of our little flashbacks. This one was done, the artwork, I'm sorry, I have it right in front of me. This was written by Karen Andrews, or Kiri Andrews, and Jose Villanueva is one of the artists as well. And this one is called Spider-Man Reign. It's a 4-issue limited series that came out in 2006. And it ended in March of 2007. Reason I chose this one is a very familiar arc. Yeah, you guys ever read The Dark Knight Returns? This is basically Spider-Man's version of The Dark Knight Returns. An elderly Peter Parker in his 70s lives alone in New York City. He has once again been fired from his job, But like all things in New York City that go wrong, the criminals have escaped from Blackgate. I'm not Blackgate, Ed. I forgot the prison name. Scorpion, Electro, and Mysterio have escaped the city, escaped their confines, and a elder Spider-Man must come out of retirement to stop them. In the wake of all this, Mary Jane has been dead for years. So basically, it's a older Peter Parker living with regret. If you actually read the story and found out how Mary Jane died, it's one of the weirdest things I've ever read in my life. I won't give that away. Captain, you need to just Google it. Get a chance if you either read it or Google it. Because it's one of the strangest.
I think I've read this one. It sounds so familiar.
I'll tell you what. When I brought this up, especially in Comixology, I saw it. I'm like, what is this? It's only four issues. I checked it out. And it has that Dark Knight Returns type of vibe. Yes, it's an older Spider-Man. He's flinging around. He's an old guy. He works at a florist shop. He got fired. I mean, how do you get fired from a florist shop? But hey, he's 70 years old. Mary Jane is dead. But when you find out how Mary Jane dies, that's a little weird. And it just goes from there. And J. Jonah Jameson is still alive. He's in his 90s, which is kind of strange. And they have like a moment that him and Peter like bonded over. Like, hey, you know, I'm sorry I was a dick to you for all those years. But hopefully we can be friends. It's a strange book, but I kind of dug it because it has that old, like that old man Logan type of thing, old man Peter Parker. And that's one of the best books that you can buy when you have like a hero who's basically, you know, in the twilight of his career. What would he do? Would he stay retired? Would he be just sitting home eating bonbons? No, he's going to still keep fighting crime to the day he dies. And you see all the things that he's gone through, his regrets of his life. It's kind of very cathartic in a way, but like I said, very strange. How Mary Jane dies, but overall, I think it's a pretty cool book, especially if you're a Spider-Man fan. So check it out. It is Spider-Man Reign. Only four issues, so you can get through it pretty fast.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, I haven't. It sounds familiar, but it's nothing that's like. I'm trying to like find a cover so I can look at it. I didn't have a chance to do it. So yeah, I'll have to check that out. Yeah, lately the old man books have been really good. If you get a chance, check out Old Man Quill. That kind of fell in the kind of same genre as like the old man Logan ones. That's been a pretty good read as well. My next one, I kind of accidentally said his name, was Nightwing. Nightwing number 70, written by Dan Jurgensen. And right now we're still in the storyline of when Dick got shot by I think it was a Deathstroke and lost his memory. And he was sitting in a hospital and a nurse doctor was taking care of him. We come to find out that doctor works for the Court of Owls, and we come to find out that Dick's grandfather was a Talon for the Court of Owls, and that basically he was really trained or was trying to be trained to become a Court of Owls Talon until the accident with his parents, and then Bruce Wayne took him in, and then you know his life just changed. But now what's happening is he is fighting those two sides of him. In the meantime, he has gone ahead and taken up a new persona. I don't have the name. He's still going by Nightwing, but right now there are four Nightwings running around. One of them is dressed in the old black and blue style. That is
the high collar.
No, not the high collar. No,
the George Perez high collar.
No, not the George. but no, we got him. Dick is now going by Rick, R-I-C. And he's running around in what's like a red and blue and white kind of costume, has a domino mask on, but it's not really a domino mask. It's more like he just like took a rag and like put it around his eyes. But what's happening is the Joker is trying to track him down. And this is supposed to be the beginnings of the Joker War that is coming. That's supposed to be coming this summer. And so this is just the beginning of it. It's been really interesting story to watch as he's trying to recover. The Wayne family, the Bat family has all come to his aid. And he's just like, I don't know you people. Please leave me alone. Let me discover who I am. He does know he's got some abilities. He does know that Bruce is Batman because why they were trying to make him remember. They showed themselves to him. So he's just kind of out on his own. And I have to tell you, recently, Nightwing has been a very interesting read. This series and storyline is not your typical Nightwing story, not your typical Batman story. It's been very interesting and very fun reads to see where he goes and what he's dealing with. Because again, it's not Dick Grayson anymore. This is new persona that's inside of him who's having to deal with the thought that, yes, I was this Nightwing person, this Robin person, but I'm also supposed to be this Talon person. you know, it's just his internal battles. And then of course there's the third person that's there, you know, that's the new Rick. So that is what
I don't know. I kind of like when Dick Grayson's just Nightwing. I think he has enough, you know.
I wasn't a fan of the Agent 52 thing.
I didn't like that at all.
I turned me off on
Nightwing. I didn't like that. I just don't like when you add so many personas to a already cool.
This one is better. That's what I'm saying. This one's a lot. I think they learned their mistake from the Agent thing.
Because that was
Agent Grayson. Sorry, not Agent 52, but Agent Grayson. That was just, you know, to me, I was like, where are you going with this? What are you doing? I know he was always more the Boy Scout than Batman was, but he's not the agency type of Boy Scout.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure where they went. But this one is really going more of the vein of a Batman story, that because he's dealing with these mental personalities. It's not a personality about one person takes over the body. It's just the Rick is fighting that Dick and this Talon person are still in there, and he'll like literally drop to his knees in pain because he's just overpressured with it. So it's just a much more level and much more of a mental level, like a true Batman story is.
I guess I gotta see how this story plays out, because it, the Talon part with the Court of Owls sounds interesting.
Yeah, that's what part I
like. The other parts I don't like. I think if you're gonna have this Talon persona fight the Dick Grayson persona, that's your story right there.
Well, it's not that he's fighting him. It's internal memory.
Yeah, the internal struggle. Internal memories.
It's not his struggles going, oh, I'm in control of you. No, I am. It's just that the memories are there and he's fighting the memories and trying to find out who he is. Like this new girl that lives in the same building as him. She's like, do you want me to call the girl you used to live here with, Barbara? And he's like, no, because I don't know her anymore. That's not a person I know, and I don't trust her. He literally goes, I don't trust Barbara Gordon. And I was like, oh, holy crap. Okay. This is,
damn. Okay.
He's like, I don't know her. I just don't know who she is. And it's, like I said, it's just give us some more of a chance. It's not your typical, like, I'm just messing with him. There's like a darker side to this. And again, you throw the Joker.
It sounds interesting. And you throw
the Joker's trying to find the real Dick Grayson. Like, he meets up with the guy that's in the black and blue costume, and he's like fighting him, burns his face. He goes, you're not him. Where's my bird boy at? You tell me where he is. Show me where, you know. And then, like, Joker's looking for him. He wants to find him. Like, we don't, why? And that's, like I said, this is leading into the Joker war.
Yeah,
coming up. So who knows? Dix may play a bigger role in the Joker war. And why is Joker after him? There's something more to that. That's really driving my.
And if you throw the Court of Owls in there, that's interesting.
Yeah, I love the cover. The cover's the Joker putting on the Nightwing costume.
That's cool. I did see that cover. That's pretty cool. But I gotta see how it plays out. Let me know after a couple issues,
dude. This is like 5 or 6.
Is it 5 or 6? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. This has been a while. Like I said, this started with him getting shot in the head, getting amnesia, and this has been an ongoing thing. So yeah, this is a pretty good story run. Next one I have is called Rogue Planet Number 1. This comes from Omni Press, written by Cullen Bunn. Basically, salvage vessel Cortez tracks the lonely orphan, a planet with no star system to call its own. Somewhere in the hostile rocks is a payload fit for a king. To attain it, though, the crew of the Cortez must brave razor rocks, poisonous vapors, treacherous footing, and the most mind-numbing horrors imaginable. Something nightmarish is at work on lonely orphan, and something cruel and something hungry. Hmm. So it's a horror independent book, comic book. It was just fun to read. It had a little bit of a gritty artistic style to it. Remind me a little bit, very little, of like some of the 80s British comic books. And I thought it was really fun. It's your typical alien. Crew crash lands on, or not crash lands, but lands on this planet. They have to go try. They're wanting to, you know, get rich, fulfill their, you know, their quota, whatever it is. And something's there, and it's something big, ugly, and nasty. So,
I'm always a fan of those indie comics. So.
Yeah. That's
an easy sell for me.
I've been trying to dip my toes in the indies a little bit more. I try at least one or two, and I try to grab the number ones just to get a flavor. But this one, like I said, is Omni Press, and it looks like a fun book.
All right, well, when you speak of indie comics, I just remember the one indie comic that I can't find anymore, and I got to look for probably, it's probably been about a couple of years, was Second Sight. I thought I had a great beginning, and then I could never find it again. So, like, you know, based on those indie type of comics that are out there, I mean, it's always, like, you're always going to have the Marvel, the DCs, and all that stuff. But, you know, the indie stories, they're usually pretty good, and they usually go all over the place. They can be really straight and narrow, kind of like the one comic book I'm reading right now, Gideon Falls. That's a really good indie comic. And then you have something like this, and then you have something like Second Sight. I mean, I'm a huge fan of those.
Yeah, always, comics. Dude, always pick up, man. Every once in a while, man, I'll do it.
I always do that once.
Well, no, every couple months I pick up one indie comic, and it's 3080.
That's a good one.
I mean, just every once in a while, just like, I haven't picked up one of those in a while, and it's just
because you got to have your main ones you got to buy. Like, yeah. But I always get like one. It's I always call it like the third Lusso.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'll pick up my two norms, and then I'll get like one I never heard of. Like, let me just check this out. That looks like a weird one. That's how I got Prodigy. That's a Mark Millar comic, and that was pretty good. So,
very good. So, guys, that is our show. We are going to say goodbye here in a little bit, but make sure you guys do check us out at streamlinks.com/heroes_asylum. You can get a link to all of our pages, our Facebook page, Twitter page, all the other stuff. You can find our other podcast, which is Midnight Movies. And there's a link to that as well as to Heroes Asylum. If you guys want to listen to us on the run, you can hear the show there on podcast form, but we're also here on YouTube. So thank you guys for subscribing, saying hi. And Kane, what do you got?
Twitter at the Heroes Asylum podcast. Check that out over there on Twitter. We got some nice stuff going there on Twitter with all our good stuff and Instagram. And of course, when it's Monday, you know what that means on Monday? Movie Monday. Movie Monday. We had a good one last week. We always have good Movie Monday ones, I think. But I think I'm just going more eclectic, more weirder as the weeks and months go along. So we got a good one. Tuesday Titan, another good stuff for Tuesday Titan. Last week I had Allfather. You didn't think I was going to put Allfather in there? Yep, I put Allfather from New Genesis in his newest form. I think that's the New 52 one that I sent you last week, Captain. That's why it looks so kind of odd to you. He didn't look very Zeus-like, so that's why he looks so strange. Women Wednesday, you threw out one out there that I didn't hear of, and I'm glad I didn't because I actually looked her up pretty decent. Throwback Thursday. Last week we did a Leather and Glove? Leather and Glove. Of Glove and Leather. What was the one we did last week?
I don't know. You chose it. Just go to Facebook. Check them all out. We don't have to give a rundown every week. Just go to Facebook. That's why we tell you guys, go to Facebook, subscribe. You can see it on Twitter and Instagram, and you can see all the things that we put out throughout the week. So that way you guys can catch up and see what we do.
Speaking of catching up, we have 743 followers. Will we get to the magical 1,000?
That's right. 1,000 is next. All right, guys. Well, make sure you guys do check us out again. We will have a new release this week for Monday Movies. Or not Monday Movies.
Yeah, it's Midnight Movies, not Monday Movies.
Unless we're going to do Monday. We got this crossover again. But yeah, we will have a new one. It is a very interesting late night one that we did. So check out Constantine with Kane and I. And I hope you guys have a good week and stay safe, please.
Yes, and remember, from the Captain to you. Get to the asylum!